All right, we are back with the Clarisy Podcast and Radio Show. And today we are having a Clarisy conversation type episode. And we are discussing the very loaded question that I think in some ways we have all experienced in this Christian life of what do you do when you're disappointed by God? And so we have covered about two of the tips that I have from my own personal life, because y'all know that's where I always pull from. I'm an expert of my own life, never an expert of anyone else's. So if I'm ever giving advice, it's always based on what I know. And I know nothing better than I know my own journey. So we are discussing two of the four tips. We have two left. If you've missed anything, you can always run this back on the Clarisy Podcast and listen to it from the beginning. Also, if this is one you need to listen to again, the Clarisy Podcast is always there for us to pick up this conversation at your own convenience. All right, we're just hopping back into the conversation with tip number three. And honestly, this one is so very me, which they all are, but this one probably more than anything else. So you've got to use logic to find the evidence to trust God. I know a lot of times people disconnect faith and logic when it comes to Christianity, but for me, that never really made sense. And I never really found success when I tried to move outside of some semblance of logic. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I know about Elena. She's a logic person. If it doesn't make sense, it just doesn't make sense. So when it comes to trusting God, a lot of times I felt like I was lying to myself and trying to trick myself into believing why I should trust God. So this is what I mean. For the longest time, I would try so hard to trust God. I would recite the scriptures and say all the things that I was supposed to. Yes, I'm holding to God's hand. Yes, I trust him. Just holding on, having faith. I'm believing. I know he's going to come through. But in reality, I would hope that God was worthy of my trust. But honestly, I didn't truly believe that he was. I was trying so hard, but I wasn't convinced. And that would lead to stress and anxiety. And when I would feel disappointed by God, it would just reinforce why I felt like I was foolish to trust him in the first place. And I was stuck in this particular cycle of trying to force myself to trust God and struggling against my unbelief. Oh, I was stuck here for most of my life, I think. And one day I was just tired of the struggle, and instead of doing my version of the shallow Christian lip service routine, I approached it like I would a project at work. My goal is to trust God. That's how I broke it down. My goal is to trust God. So if I looked at this logically and considered all of the evidence that I have that supports that this is the right move, what do I come up with? And when I looked at it that way, then not only scriptures, but life experiences started coming to mind that really put this in a new light. And it was like, well, I know even when I try my best, I screw things up simply because I don't know everything. Well, God knows everything. So logically, he's in the better position to create a successful plan and lead my life. And then it was like, well, my success rate has been this. And if I'm honest, even with the times I felt disappointed by God, he still has a much better success rate than I do. So it really is more logical to go with his plan and seek his plan and trust him over doing my own thing. And then it was, God is good. And when I look for it in my life, I see it. But it's all in a matter of what you're looking for. When I would look for evidence to not trust God, I would find it. But when I would look for evidence to actually trust him, I would find that too. So it's a matter of training my eyes to find evidence for what I actually want to achieve. And when I approach it this way, I see the evidence to trust him, and it becomes such a logical decision and not just a faith one. For me, when it moved from something I was hoping was a good decision to a sound decision I was confident in, my process became easier and I wasn't disappointed so often. And it took away the stress out of the process and it helped me to relax so I wasn't so reactive. And that also lessened how easily I became disappointed. I think we were all designed to bring our whole selves into our relationship with God. I have this Nancy Drew brain, and my parents worked within me and my sisters a strength for thinking critically. So I became a lot more successful in life and in my relationship with God when I decided that I was allowed to bring these strengths into my relationship and that I wanted to use them to bring me closer to God rather than pulling me away. All right, so the last tip that I have for you is to ask God to give you a different perspective. I have learned in my life and by watching the lives of others that all you see is not all that there is. And just because you feel disappointed doesn't mean that you should be. Feelings are not fact. My granny used to say that your feelings will have you acting a fool and then call you a fool for acting. She had a lot of these little sayings and whatnot. You never knew what she was going to come up with, but they always kind of hit just at the right moment. And I guess this is the episode for me to share a lot of her sayings because they just keep coming up. But that one was always one that really helped me, that was very profound to me. Your feelings will have you acting a fool and then call you a fool for acting. And it means just because it feels real doesn't mean it's actually reality. And if you allow them to, your feelings will carry you away and make you spin and do all sorts of crazy things that you wouldn't actually do if you had a sober mind. So one thing that I have learned to do is to bring my feelings back, try to take control of them rather than allow them to control me. And then also to not pass judgment so quickly. So what I mean by that is I will actually try to withhold or pause my feelings when it's a situation I've been really trusting God in and something happens that I don't like. I try to take a beat, take a breath, sit, and put my reaction on the shelf and then give God time to work it out. I've learned that when I react too quickly and I judge the situation as bad or horrible or disappointing or any of these things, I shut down God's ability to bring in the solution because either I take my faith from it or I put my hands on it and try to do it myself. And honestly, both of those have probably happened more often than not. But when I keep watching the situation and I keep listening to God's direction and keep seeking him, and when I try to stay in it with him and don't abort the mission, I see how it all works out. And usually, if I take that beat and just watch it work, watch God work, it usually works out better than I expected. But we have to allow God the space to be God and the space to work it out. Because honestly, I think many of the times I credit as being disappointing is because I gave up on God too quickly. I walked away and I just straight chunked my trust right in the trash. And it was just because the story was unfinished. And I was too impatient to watch it play out. Or it was because I misunderstood the plan and thought that I needed one thing, got mad and hurt when God didn't do it. And then I was too blinded by emotion to realize that something better was actually in the works. So in many ways, when I look at it that way, I was kind of setting myself up for disappointment. So take a moment and be honest with yourself. And if no one has told you it's okay to feel disappointed with what happened or is happening in your life. That's human. It's just not okay to stay there. Recognize the feelings and move through them by bringing them to God. Stay tender and open up to Him, and then ask Him to show you how to heal from those feelings. Anytime I have done that, it's actually strengthened my relationship with Him instead of feeling some type of way about Him forever. It increased my love for Him and my trust in Him. So we would think sometimes bringing our disappointment, hurt feelings, whatever we're feeling to God, that He would be offended by it, or He would tell us, how dare you feel that way when I've done all these things for you. But that's not God. At least that's not the God that I serve. I don't know if you serving Jerome or somebody else, but that's not the way Jesus gets down. He is love, and He loves us, and He moves in the agape love. So He's not expecting us to have a certain reaction or earn His love or anything like that. No. But He does know that our response to His love, our response to His moves, our reactions to how He operates in our lives, it can either set us up for more blessings, or it can be the delay and the hindrance for us getting the things that we want and He wants to give to us. So it's really our benefit to bring it to Him as quickly as possible. And that's one thing that I'm working on. Don't let it simmer. Don't let it sit. Bring it to Him as quickly as possible so these feelings don't take hold, and so that we move through them and get to the blessing as soon as possible. So if disappointment is something that you think you've dealt with or are currently dealing with, say this prayer. Lord, show me any areas in my heart that may be holding on to disappointment, resentment, or offense. I don't want to go 1 second longer holding on to this. I want to be delivered from this. So in the name of Jesus, remove anything in me that is separating me from You. I want to trust You, but I need You to show me how. I need You to help me, to clean me, to purify me. I want to know You. I want to experience Your love. I want to increase my trust. I will seek after You with my whole heart, and I give You my heart. I surrender my life to You, and I allow You to move however You see fit. So Lord, please work within me a heart that trusts You, a heart that loves You, a heart that is submitted to You and connected to You. Lord, I love You. Have Your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. So as always, I want to know how this hit you. I want to know how it impacted you. The thoughts, the revelations you had because of this episode, how it helped you, the decisions you made, the conversations this inspired. I want to know all the things. So be sure to subscribe to the Claracy Podcast on any podcast platform. Be sure to rate and review and share. Also, you can always visit claracyblog.com for all of the Claracy content, and connect with me on any of the Claracy Blog social media pages to continue this conversation. I love you. I am praying for you, and I want the best for you. Disappointment is not our final destination, but it's on us to move from that place. So let's get to work. And there's nothing waiting for us but more of God's love, more of God's presence, and more of God's goodness and mercy and favor and blessings. So I love you, and talk soon.
Welcome to the Claracy Radio Show and Podcast.
I'm Elena, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
Oh, we're gonna have some fun today.
Let's talk about purpose. You know, sometimes you have to go deep so you can go high. So let's get into it. Let's talk about finding and maintaining fulfillment. Sugar, I'm not here for motivation. We need revelation. Let's talk about how to live abundantly. My prayer for you is the same for me. Clarity. Clearly I see. So, are you ready? All right, let's go. Hello, everyone. Everyone, I am Elena, and welcome to the Clarity Podcast and Radio Show, where our conversations are always about finding fulfillment, identifying purpose, and just how to live an abundant life. So, in a nutshell, the purpose of Clarity is to create content and conversations that help us to see ourselves, others, and God clearer so we can live the abundant, purpose-driven, fulfilled lives we were created for. Now, you see how those all come together? Yes. Now, to learn more about all things Clarity, head to clarityblog.com and be sure to connect with me on the Clarity Blog Facebook, IG pages, or other social media pages. There you'll learn everything about the blog, the radio show, and the podcast. And remember, Clarity is C-L-A-R-I-S-E-E. Also, be sure if you're listening on the podcast or head over to the podcast to rate and review this podcast. Also share. Let a friend know about it. Let an enemy know about it. Let someone walking across the street that you see randomly know about it. Thanks you. I appreciate it. Anyway, let's get into today's conversation. So today is a Clarity Q&A conversation. Ironically, I have been having a lot of conversations that included this particular question. So this one question will be what we drill into for today's episode. And it's a simple one that I think we all have a little experience with. So the question is, what do you do when you're disappointed by God? And honestly, I don't know a Christian that hasn't experienced this. I mean, if we're honest about our walk with God, we all have had an instance where God didn't move like we expected and we didn't understand why. This usually results in some feeling of disappointment. And if we're not careful, offense and resentment can seep in. And all of a sudden, we withhold ourselves from God. We create distance and we take more control over the situations and areas of our lives that mean the most to us. So I have about 4 tips that I have used in my own relationship with God when I felt disappointed by how he moved, how he answered, how he reacted to my call for help and me placing my trust in him. And honestly, the first tip I have is to be honest and to stop denying how you feel. I think some of us feel like we're bad Christians or sacrilegious if we admit that we're disappointed with something God did. I know at least me growing up, it was, you don't question God. You know, you better be happy with anything God does because he puts the breath in your body. And all of that is true without question. That is true. But I think it's not quite human to expect that you are going to be happy with every single decision that God makes or his divine moves. I think because sometimes we don't fully understand them, disappointment is what happens just because of our partial view. Now, please don't get me wrong. I don't recommend that you stay in the space of disappointment and dig your heels in there. But there is benefit for being honest with yourself about how you feel. If you feel some kind of way about what God did, you can tell him. He knows you. So when he says he loves you, he'll never leave you. He means it. He can handle you. Even when you're throwing tantrums, even when you have an attitude, when you're hurt, when you're stressed, when you're disappointed, when you are anything less than the perfect Christian child, He can handle it. But he cannot do anything about helping you and healing you if you never bring it to him. And to do that, you must first face your feelings and be honest with yourself about how you feel. And then you can be honest with God too. Now, tip number two. You've got to make the decision and decide, do you actually want to trust God? You know, my granny used to say that God will use your want to. That's how she said, she's a little country. God will use your want to, Lena. You know, for some reason, I don't know if it's African Americans that do this, or I'm sure other races and nationalities and ethnicities do this as well. But inhaling certain sounds and syllables in the beginnings of names, you just, Lena. My name is not Elena. It's Lena. It happens a lot, but I'm not against it. Anyway, we'll come back from that rabbit hole. So my granny used to say that God will use your want to. And essentially, it meant that your desires matter. If your heart is for God and you want to move past your some type of way feelings, even if you don't know how, God can use your heart posture and your desire. You don't have to figure it out all by yourself. You just have to trust him enough to bring your heart to him, to honestly share your feelings with him, to allow your heart to break in his presence. Learning to trust God starts with creating an intimate relationship with him and being vulnerable with him. And a lot of times we don't like to be vulnerable, especially after we feel like someone has hurt us or disappointed us or taken advantage of us. But that is what trusting God requires. It requires the vulnerability. So if learning to trust him starts with creating this intimate relationship and being vulnerable with him is a catalyst for that relationship, then in many ways, if the goal is to trust God with our whole lives, we first have to learn to trust him with us. I believe that is so true. To trust God with your life, you first have to trust him with you. And if you can learn to trust him with your heart, then trusting him with the important things happening in your life becomes a whole lot easier because you've laid the foundation for it. So you have to make the decision that you want to trust him, and you have to make it clear to yourself why. And then you have to remind yourself of that decision when you start doubting it. All right. I'm feeling your vibe right now, and I think it's probably a good time to let that simmer and go ahead and take a break. So we'll be back after this.